Unveiling the secrets A-list copywriters use to make themselves and their clients millions. This is the Copywriters Podcast with your host, the world's greatest copywriting coach, David Garfinkel.
A lot of copywriters are familiar with these two ladders, Gene Schwartz's five stages of market awareness and the five levels of customer sophistication. But there's something missing from this collection of valuable ladders. And just in the last week, I realized what it is. It's the five stages of copywriter awareness. See, we aren't born copywriters, and they certainly don't teach us how to write copy in school. It's something you learn from experience. In the beginning, at stage one, copywriters are often so amazed by the power of writing this new way that they miss the bigger picture, which is, while even bad copy with a mediocre headline and a weak offer can work, once you get out into the larger marketplace, bad copy will get crushed by copy written by stage four and five copywriters. I became aware of stages four and five from a brilliant presentation I saw last week in the Novus AI Copywriting Mastermind. Scott Zetlin of Visiopt opened my eyes to how massive promotions happen through applied creativity and smart testing. Today, you'll learn about all five stages from one to five and what you need to work on to advance to the next stage up. But now I have something that applies to nearly all copywriters. Copy is powerful. You're responsible for how you use what you hear in this podcast. Most of the time, common sense is all you need. But if you make extreme claims, and or if you're writing copy for offers in highly regulated industries like health, finance, and business opportunity, you may want to get a legal review after you write and before you start using your copy. My larger clients do this all the time. Okay, so to get started on this new model of five stages of copywriting awareness, there's an interesting pattern every copywriter goes through as they gain experience. It's growth. This growth tends to improve conversions dramatically, and it happens in five distinct stages. Most copywriters don't even realize these stages exist. They feel like they know something's missing, but they don't know what it is. Think about the last piece of copy you wrote that didn't convert as well as you wanted. You knew you missed something, but you couldn't quite figure out what it was. When you're feeling that way, you're ready for the next stage. Now, my experience shows an interesting pattern. Not everybody makes it past stages one or two of the five stages I'm going to talk about. Some get comfortable at stage three and stop growing, and you can make a living as a copywriter that way. It works. The sad part is, when people get to stage three most of the time, they don't even realize they've plateaued. Okay, so I'll define all these stages and give you examples. Stage one is where we all start. It's writing from pure instinct. Many copywriters stay here forever, wondering why their perfectly good copy, as they see it, doesn't persuade anyone. The copy looks good, maybe, but it sure doesn't perform when it's time to sell. Stage two shows the first signs of awareness that other people might look at things differently than you do. Yeah, it's a step, but not enough to get consistent results because you might hit a home run once in a while, but you have no way to repeat the success. When you get to stage three, you're starting to discover the habits and methods that lead to big results. Your copy works sometime, but still not as consistently as you'd like. Stage four is where patterns emerge. Here's where the guesswork ends and the certainty begins. Your conversion rates don't just improve, they become much more predictable. And stage five, this is where you get breakthrough results again and again, because you know exactly how to keep refining until you hit the sweet spot. But back to stage one, it's based mainly on gut instinct. Today, we'll look at why gut instinct by itself is almost never enough and why sometimes it's dangerous. I'll show you the framework that separates the top copywriters from everyone else. You'll discover a method that removes nearly all the guesswork from your copy. And you'll be able to pinpoint where you are in this ladder of five stages today and where you need to go next.
You've mentioned before the magic eye, and I think it's something that you've probably developed after reviewing tons and tons of people's copy. Where do you think in these five stages, where do you think that the magic eye starts to develop?
It's funny. It's almost a parallel track. It's not the same thing, but I would say probably between stages 3 and 4.
That's what I was expecting. All right, let's jump into it because I'm excited.
All right, here we go. So stage one is, I don't know, I don't care. They'll buy this because I would buy this the way I sold it. A lot of new copywriters start out by assuming any reasonable person would want this. They don't really think about their prospect at all as people. They write from a place of self-reference. They themselves are their whole world. And this can work great for a novelist, but for a copywriter, not so much. What is worse, for a copywriter at this stage, their state of awareness is not even conscious. They just assume what's logical to them is logical to everyone else. So, example, imagine a life coach writing her first sales letter. She's not thinking about her market's struggles. She's writing about unleashing potential and finding your authentic self. Why? Because those concepts matter to her. But maybe other things matter more, or at least initially, to her best and otherwise most ready prospects. The stage one copywriter isn't being willfully blind. They're not deliberately blind. They're on autopilot, guided by their own values and worldview, and so they end up writing to themselves. The problem is your prospects aren't all like you. In fact, many of them may be considerably different from you in what they consider most important. The reasonable people you assumed were your prospects simply don't respond the way they're supposed to. So you have a fitness trainer and they list the scientific exercise principles, while prospects just want routines that they can follow that work. A software developer details every feature, while customers only care about getting certain tasks done more easily and quickly. For many people, copywriters and business owners alike, this comes as a painful realization. Your values and decision-making process may be completely different from those of your prospects. But until you recognize this gap and go outside yourself, your copy will keep missing the mark. The good news is there's a way to change this, which we'll talk about in stage two.
I think the copywriters that get stuck in this, we have a term, eating your own dog food. It's if you create a solution for a problem you had and you say, hey, this is a great idea, I think I'll try and sell it to other people. If you're a copywriter for your own offer, for your own business, and you can only see the solution through the eyes of you needing the solution, it's real easy to get stuck at this level of copywriting. And I don't think that you'll ever be able to write for anybody else's offer. And you might do an okay job at writing for your own, but you're definitely not tapping the full potential of the market for what it is that you're selling.
Yeah, I would totally agree. And there are some people who go off to great success simply selling their own method for their own problem solving, but you can grow past that. All right. So stage two is where the copywriter starts to think about what prospects want. Stage two brings a major shift in awareness for the copywriter. It's like when they realize, and I quote, sometimes other people think differently than I do. What's interesting is at first, this awareness doesn't come through deliberate, systematic research. Instead, it might come through random observations, conversations, interesting feedback. At this stage, copywriters start to pick up bits and pieces of what prospects want. Maybe they overhear conversations at events. Maybe they read random comments on social media. Maybe they notice what friends say about similar products or even the product they're writing about. And when this happens the first time, it's an aha moment. The copywriter starts to realize the sales angle is different than what appeals to them personally. And so they start writing more prospect-oriented copy, But this is important. It's based really on random information, which is better than before, but can still be a problem. Because what you've got here is a copywriter. It's like learning detective work by watching TV crime shows. It's not how it's really done. Say a business coach overhears someone complain about work-life balance at a party. Suddenly, all their copy focuses on work-life balance. Or the software developer who reads three comments about user interface on Reddit. Now they assume that's everyone's main concern. They're trying to step outside their own perspective, and that's progress, but they're still operating on fragments of insight rather than reliable information. And without systematic research, they're still guessing. They're only getting a part of the picture. The right one? The wrong one? That's hard to tell. You might occasionally hit the target, but you can't replicate success reliably. So now let's move on to stage three, where copywriters start approaching research more systematically.
I just want to add real quick, as a copywriter, I went through both of these stages myself. And so I don't think this is like a putting people down. It's just a recognizing that these are usually the natural stages that copywriters go through. So if you're listening to this and you're saying, well, that sounds kind of like what the way that I do it, it's not a personal attack. It's just, this is something that you probably will go through.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be real coddling and nurturing here, but I'm not being judgmental or critical either. I'm trying to be objective and explain this is what we all go through. You know, you don't criticize a baby when they start to crawl, and then you don't criticize them when they start to walk, if they can't run. And you don't criticize them when they can run, but they can't ride a bicycle. They're just different stages. Are you getting tired of using the hero's journey in your sales copy over and over again? My book, The Persuasion Story Code, will help you put together stories that convince your prospects and resolve their objections. If you are a copywriter, you'll appreciate that every single one of the 25 kinds of stories in this book have been proven time and time again in profitable sales copy. But I've also used these kinds of stories to close 5- and 6-figure deals for my own business, and so have many of my clients. These stories are easy to create and easy to tell. They sound like ordinary conversation, but they are all designed and proven to lead to a yes. You can get the Persuasion Story Code on Amazon.com. So get your copy today. So stage three, the copywriter actually finds out what the prospect wants. Stage three is when copywriters proactively start to do research on the prospects for their offer. And they do this in an organized, systematic way. For example, they study competitor ads. They read reviews on places like Amazon or Reddit, looking at comments on YouTube and Facebook. They might even interview a few customers. Just exposing yourself to a wider variety of customer viewpoints on purpose makes a difference. Reading reviews picks up valuable language patterns and customer concerns, but it doesn't tell you everything you need to know. Suppose a SaaS copywriter interviews 5 customers. They get valuable input. But 5 customers usually don't represent the point of view of the entire market. They might be hearing from their happiest users while missing out on why some of their customers bought from a competitor instead of them. Still, this is not as bad as stages 1 or 2. The stage 3 copywriter creates solid research-based copy. They're way ahead of stages 1 and 2 because they're working with real data, and their conversion rates usually reflect this improvement. But there's a limitation. This kind of research often stops at the surface level. And this is why stage 3 copy works, but usually doesn't create breakthrough results. It addresses what prospects say, but it doesn't dive deep enough. Even so, many successful copywriters operate at this level, but they're leaving money on the table by not digging deeper. Now let's look at stage 4. Where research is only the starting point.
Before we do, I just wanted to add a couple things. You mentioned studying competitors' ads. I would add on to that. Studying competitors' ads that you see running over and over again, because those are the ones that are working. And then you mentioned checking out reviews on Amazon or comments on YouTube videos. I would say give focus to the ones that people say are most helpful or the ones that get the most thumbs up, because those are the ones that are resonating with your market the most. So if you're at level three and you're going to take those tips, those are a couple of addendums that I would add to them.
Yeah. And thank you. That kind of segues into stage four, where you start to not just research, but analyze the research and think about it and focus on certain parts of it. So we'll call stage four analysis of the research. Stage four brings organized marketing intelligence and, more important, analysis. The copywriter doesn't gather research. They analyze it two ways. First, they look at how often the same comments occur. The ones that occur most frequently usually give clues to the market's greatest desire. Second, they investigate and imagine emotionally to figure out what's behind those desires and complaints, what's underneath them. And in this way, the stage four copywriter is looking for patterns and priorities. This helps their copy connect a lot better, and it can lead to record-breaking conversion rates, because this is where we get past old school teachings and into the 21st century this year, because there are apps, including AI, which can help you do things that only the most sophisticated data operations could do in the past, and maybe not even that well. For example, copywriters at this level will use a tool like Export Comments to harvest hundreds of pieces of customer data. This kind of copywriter analyzes Amazon reviews across multiple competitor products. They pull revealing comments from Reddit threads and YouTube comments, but the money is in how they analyze what they've harvested. So you can use AI, got 1,000 comments, you can have AI group the comments and rank them in groups. So, you know, you can ask it to find similar comments and put them all in one group and count the number of comments in each group. In this way, you can identify which complaints show up most often too, as well as benefits. Sometimes copywriters at this stage read between the lines and find the emotional triggers that appear directly and indirectly over and over in customer language. So here are some hypothetical examples. Imagine a supplement company copywriter who analyzed 500 reviews across their niche. In this hypothetical example, the copywriter discovered the term energy boost appeared 3 times more than weight loss, even though it was for a weight loss supplement group. Do you think that this would change their copy? I know it sure as hell would change mine. Stage four copywriters don't just know what the prospects say, they know how they say it. And you can find interesting connections you might never have expected. For example, you might discover customers who mention the phrase time savings also frequently mention the term reduced stress. Putting these two benefits together would make for a very powerful copy angle. Suppose you noticed a product and 72% of the positive reviews mentioned both easy setup and fast results. Boom. Sounds like you've found a winning combination. But even this level of analysis has limits, because what people say in comments and what they do when it comes to clicking on a link or buying something, say and do are often two different things. And that's where stage five awareness and the practices that go with that awareness can help.
This reminds me, I think it was, I can't even remember who it was, but I remember somebody saying, I like to read my copy to a random guy at the bar. And if he says, yeah, that sounds really interesting, I know that it's not good enough. If he says, dude, where do I get that? Help me out. Sign me up. That's when I know the copy is working. Just when you're talking about what they say, I think it was, versus what they do.
It was an ancient Roman copywriter named Garrus Halbertus.
Garrus Halbertus, that's who it was.
Yeah, Gary would do that. Okay, stage five, testing different combinations. This is where you can go from moderate increases to massive gains, because we're not just talking about simple A-B testing. Instead, this combines systematic testing with creativity and smart swiping. Smart swiping meaning legal swiping, ethical swiping, non-plagiaristic swiping. So through systematic research, your stage five copywriters know what people say their top core desires or most want to fix problems are as they relate to your offer. But there's still one more step. You have to find out what people actually do when you repeat what they say in your copy. It's the behavior that's the final piece of the puzzle. So you test different ways to present these structure, these researched elements through different combinations based on proven structures from competitor ads that are already working. Not the words or the phrases the competitors are using, not the words or the phrases themselves, but their structures. For example, imagine a software company that tested 15 different headlines. All were built around the same benefit of time savings, but each one had a different angle. The winner, the headline that paired time savings with reduced stress. Or let's think of a business coach who tests multiple story-based openings. Each story illustrated the same transformation, but through different characters. Of course, the winner, not the character, but the winning ad, would be the version that had characters most like the target market and situations most like theirs. Okay? Stage five copywriters insist on large enough sample sizes to get data that's accurate. They run tests long enough to make their conclusions statistically significant. They isolate variables by testing headlines against headlines, leads against leads. By operating in this focused, logical way, they get clear, actionable data. The beauty of stage five testing, it removes opinion from the equation. Because at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter what the copywriter thinks will work better. The market tells you. Sometimes the results surprise people who are new at the game. They're shocked when the so-called clever headline falls flat. They can hardly believe it when the boring opening outperforms all the fascinating, deeply dramatic ones. But no one should be surprised, and stage five copywriters are level-headed and even-tempered when results like these come in, because they know the best results come from analyzing and implementing factors and how the market actually behaves. You could say this is the point where, in some way, copy transforms from an art to a science. Gut feelings have to yield to statistical certainty. And it's not always easy if you're not used to it. While anyone can test, few people have the patience to test systematically. But you can make massive gains when you do, like a 20% lift in conversion rate from a better headline, a 35% reduction in bounce rate from an improved opening. That's what you get when you systematically test every element and keep testing. Stage five testing creates a feedback loop that improves all your copy. Each successful test teaches you something new. That's why mastering stages 1 through 4 is really important before you dive into stage five. And that brings us to the final piece of advice about stage five, above board swiping. Again, credit where credit is due to Scott Zetlin, who I learned this from and who does this and many other things routinely for his clients at Viseot. Above board swiping is an ethical way to peel back the layers of a winning sales piece. Don't do surface level swipes. Don't swipe words and phrases. You should not do that. What you should do is analyze how your most successful competitors build their argument. This is about the invisible architecture that makes prospects say yes. How would you do this kind of structural swipe with a top performing VSL? Well, map out their exact timing. See where they introduce the problem. Notice when they introduce pain points. Watch for the pivot to the solution. You'll see a clear pattern. That's what you swipe. Then you can mix and match and test that. Maybe you take the proof sequence from one winner. Then you combine it with a story structure from another. Next, you test various hooks within that hybrid framework. This systematic approach is how you get the big winners. And this is the kind of thing that Scott does with his testing that, you know, I've learned so much about that I really didn't know about until this year. And when you combine this structural understanding with your deep market research, you start to get bigger winners more often. That's the true power of above board swiping. You're leveraging the deep structures that make copy work, and you fill the structures with sales points that come from systematic research. And that's what defines a stage five copywriter.
Couple things that I wanted to add before we're out of here. I really like this because it's the flow of the copy. It's not particularly just stealing a headline and swapping out a couple of words, but it's more so what is the cadence, what is the rhythm of this? And being a musician and you also being a musician, I think that we can appreciate this maybe on a level that most other people don't. The other thing is I've gotten to the point now with my copy when I'm testing two or three different things, I can usually guess accurately what the winner is going to be. But every once in a while, I still get surprised. I'm like, really? That's the one that worked better? But I'm always happy that I'm tested and that I'm testing. And I'm always happy when I'm proven wrong, because even when I'm proven wrong, it's a win for the client. So don't be, I think sometimes we get our ego invested and we want to, if the one that we think is going to win doesn't end up winning, we might take it as like an insult to our ability, but it's a win for the client. So always keep that in mind.
Yeah. That's why I was hemming and hawing a little bit when you asked about the magic eye stuff before, because it's true. 3 out of 4 times when you get to a certain point, you know what's going to work. That fourth time you don't. And if you don't test, you know, you can end up, you know, leaving a lot of money on the table. And that is, as well as you know the market, if you're not the market, there's some things about them you just don't know. You just have to offer up and see how they respond.
They'll still surprise you every once in a while, but that's kind of the fun in all of this, I think.
Me too. If it were predictable, entirely 100% predictable, it might get a little boring.
Absolutely. Okay, David, this was a great episode. I'm glad you put it together, and all of this is brand new to me. I mean, it intuitively makes sense, but I've never seen it laid out like this, so I'm glad that you took the time to put this together. And if you, the listener, enjoyed this episode, David's put together like almost 400 other episodes so far. All of them, I don't think we've ever had a dud episode so far. So if you enjoyed this and you want to check out more, head on over to copywriterspodcast.com. And David, you got anything else before we're out of here?
I just want to say, if anyone's a little discouraged, that's okay. But you don't have to stay discouraged. You can get to work and develop these skills. I'm not talking about having a natural gift for persuasion or, you know, a Shakespearean way with words here. I'm talking about just learning to listen and integrate and analyze and test. And these are things anyone can learn, and it may not be your temperament. So you may want to get someone to help you with it. But nevertheless, this stuff is not rocket science. It's simply, well, since we're recording this in Halloween, well, do you want the candy corn or do you want the Snickers? I mean, it's really that simple. And that, you know, that's what you're doing when you test a couple of different ads. So stay optimistic and motivated, because there are great times ahead if you just stick with it.
I think what I like about this is all of these stages that you went through today, I kind of fumbled my way through the dark to go from one to the next. And if I would have had a clear step-by-step, these are the 5 points, I would have advanced through my copywriting so much faster, but I didn't. I had to find my way, so, you know, stubbing my toe and falling in some pit traps, and it took a lot longer than it had to.
I would have too. I mean, I just figured this out last week, and this is after being in the field for 30 years. You know, when I heard that presentation Scott gave, and I said, oh, suddenly it all came to me. But if you started today, you would be stuck with so many other things, you know, that are going on, you know, incredibly more demanding clients and, you know, an increasingly aggressive FTC and figuring out where AI and other computer tools come into this. So everybody gets to fumble. That's just part of the learning how to do it game. But anyway, thank you for saying that. I just had to argue with you about it.
Not a problem at all. All right. One more time, plug for the podcast. If you want more episodes, copywriterspodcast.com. And until next time, we will catch you later.
Catch you later. Hey, did you enjoy today's show? Want to help get it into the ears of more listeners? Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast app.
This is the Copy and Funnels Podcast Network.